Hello, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State. And we'd love to come to you this day, and it's such a privilege to come to be be able to just share what God is doing, not only in times past, but in the present. We read in the Bible, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So those things that he did when he was on earth here, he continues to do. And so that's why we see these miracles overseas. We see some in the United States, but mainly overseas, because they don't have all this logic to interfere with their mind. They've already seen the power of Satan. Lots of them have come from groups of people that might have witch doctors or some other type of demonic activity they've seen the power. It's a real power. It's a very strong power mostly for bad, but sometimes it's for good as well. What's called sometimes white magic as opposed to dark magic. And these are all demonic spirits, but the purpose of them is to deceive, to draw one away from the truth. So what often happens is, like the Bible talks about Paul, the Apostle Paul, says that even if I come to you or anybody else, or even an angel comes to you and gives to you another gospel rather than what has already been preached to you, let him be accursed. So we are looking at this, that we also see from Scripture that Satan comes as an angel of light. So he comes with all this light and beauty, but he comes, the purpose of it is to deceive, to draw one away. You say, it's obvious. Lots of people, they're not going to be fooled by a straight-out lie. However, sometimes even if a lie is repeated enough, they believe it, just like Hitler. When Hitler took over, he repeated lies so much, he says, we just have to repeat these over and over and over again, and people will begin to believe them. Well, he was absolutely right. You just repeat the lie and repeat the lie and repeat the lie and repeat the lie, and all of a sudden, he's hooked the people. Well, this is what it says about Satan as well, and that Lucifer, he comes as a beautiful creature. He's speaking truth with lies, that there is a deceptiveness, that you get 90% or so truth and 10% lies, and it draws one away, and then he can switch it to more and more towards the lying part and the deception part. So we don't want to be led astray. That's why we are so fortunate to have the Word of God written out for us, that we can test things by that. We look to the New Testament, to what Jesus says, and we look to the teachings in the New Testament, and also we go back to the Old Testament from time to time. The Proverbs are just loaded with sound business proverbs, how to build a business, and also how to build one's life and relationships. The relationships are very important, that if you want to be wise, you want to go to wise men, wise women, and be around them. You don't want to spend your time with fools or those that are liars or deceptive people. You don't want to have those as your friends. You can go to them, but you don't spend the time. You can go to them and speak the truth to them in love, but you don't put your confidence in them. And so we need to be careful about our relationships. Now, occasional, that's one thing, but anything where there's any confidence in imparted, or you give them confidence into your life, then there could be problems. So we have to be wise and understanding. And the Bible is filled with richness and blessings. And the last fourth of the Bible, the first three quarters of the Bible, are the Old Testament, which means the Old Covenant. And the new part is the New Testament, which is the New Covenant. And before we start, last week I happened to mention a little bit about the falling dollar and commodities and things like that. And we just want to visit those things just to we need to be somewhat aware, definitely, of the world around us. We was just looking back at some statistics this morning and just seeing where markets have been. We look at the Dow Jones over the last 12 months, it's only down 3%, but it's down 16% from October. The Standard & Poor's is down 8%, and so is the NASDAQ Composite, which is both much broader view of the market. They're both down 8% over the last 12 months, but like the Composite is down a whole 23% from October. Now, at the same time, if you look, have a symbol that's called DBC, and Denver Bronco C, and which is a symbol that represents the commodities, and we see that is up 60% in 7 months. The price of commodities are up 60% in 7 months. We see the price of gold is up 55%. So it's actually, gold is actually going up less than commodities in general. Silver is up 88% from the low of 7 months ago to what it is now. We look at the price of oil. There's not necessarily oil, but there is a oil, U.S. oil fund. It's just, the symbol is just USO. And we look at that, and was comparing to that with 7 months ago, and it's up 63.3% from its low then to 7 months ago to now. It's up 66% for the last 12 months. Now let's look at a couple things in other parts of the world. We look at the Chinese market. In the last seven months, had gone up 92.8. I mean, this is Brazil. The Chinese, let's go to the Chinese first. It's actually down 38% in the last 5 months. When the U.S. went down, so did they, and they went down all the more. But they had been up from between March of last year and October 145% in 7 months they increased. That symbol is FXI, but it's the general market of the Chinese stock market. While Brazil, it's interesting to look at these. When the United States goes down a little, China went down considerably. When the United States is going up, China is going up even more so. But Brazil is different. It's not tied into our economy. And in the last 7 months, it's up almost 93%, the high yesterday, from the low 7 months ago. It's up 126% right now from the last 12 months. So you see that Brazil, we look there and we see something happening. Something happened since the 70s. And what has happened is there's been a dramatic change in that country. There were very few Christians, and there's been a tremendous turning towards Christ in much of the nation. And we see the blessings of God began to come on that nation. Remember all the crisis they had years ago of so many things defaulting, and that was just at the beginning, just a few years before that was just the beginning of revival there. And it was just in its very infancy. And just a few people, they were multiplying fast, but in multiplied millions, you could go up several 100% per year and still have less than a half million people. But over that time, there has been tremendous amount of in that nation of people that have turned to Christianity. And this is not the old-styled Christianity. This is the full gospel's Christianity. Those that believe that the miracles Jesus did in the past, also he does now. And so it's the full gospel churches, which are pretty few in number in the United States, but yet there it's getting more predominant than other things. So people are turning to the Lord in that country. And their economy is not tied to the United States. And we see that they were up in the last 12 months. Right now, they're up 126%, their stock market, over the last, compared to our dollar anyway, over that period of time. And so we see that we should be aware of those things going on in the world around us. Because we are to be salt and light in the world. So we see the dollar going down, commodities going up dramatically, as I said, 60% for commodities in general in the last 7 months. And yet our government will not record those. interesting thing, in the last 6 years, you see, about 5 years, they've done away with the M3 number. The M3 number tracks the increase in the money, the printed money out there. So when they print up a 15 to 18% increase per year, that means that over that time, actually the money has doubled. In other words, they've cut the value. Even though the dollar seems to be holding up somewhat, it's actually been cut because they put out twice as many dollars. And so it's been cut in half. There's twice as many dollars out there circulating as just 5-6 years ago. So we see that this is a hidden form of taxation. You see, they can go ahead and lower taxes. Because why? Because they're taxing by just, like Germany did in the after World War One, they just printed gobs of paper. In fact, the paper became was more expensive than the value of the bills that were printed on it. And so, I don't believe that we'll come to that extreme, but. We are moving in that direction. And so the Social Security is saying that that they are raising the value, saying that the consumer price index is going up 2-3% a year or whatever. And so they're limiting Social Security benefits to go up only by just a couple, 2-3%. But as you see right now, by this, the commodities have gone up 60% in the last 7 months. And so we get the government's figures, they have taken out of that equation, they've taken out most food items, and they've taken out energy items. So they're basing it on other things that are increasing. And so the ones that are going up the most, they take out of the equation, so it doesn't show. Well, now that I've given you the bad news, Now let's look at the good news. But let me just happen to mention some of those symbols again, so you might, if any of you ever do invest, at least I haven't invested in these, but I do watch them, because that's part of knowing what's going on in the world around me. We'll look again at the symbol for the main commodity index that is the ETF is traded is DBC, DBC, gold is GLD, GLD, silver is SLV, SLV, the U.S. oil fund is USO, or U.S. oil fund, and that's pretty tightly associated with the price of barrels of oil, not exactly by any means, but it's fairly close. The other two that foreign stock markets that I was mentioning was the Chinese, which is the FXI, and the Brazilian, which is EWZ. And so if you're, I just mentioned those to you for if you want to look at any of those and track them, it may be of interest to you. So we've covered the not-so-good news. Well, let's get to the good news. We have been going through the book of Matthew, and we want to continue going through that. And so we just ended up with Jesus walking on the water. And not only that, but Peter walking on the water. And this wasn't just any water. It wasn't placid water. It was in a storm. And the waves were getting rather high. And Peter did walk on water towards Jesus. And then when he started looking around at all his wind blowing and took his eyes off Jesus, that's when it said he began to sink. And so it was when you and I get our eyes off Jesus that things can really get bad. But then, even when we have our eyes on Jesus, there can be a total storm around us. But we need a foundation in our lives. That foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. That's the one that was even prophesied, that even King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream that Daniel interpreted, that there was going to be all these successive kingdoms. And then that there was going to be this rock that came rolling down and that would hit this huge statue, which represented all these kingdoms of man, and that it would be crushed, and then it would expand and fill the whole earth. Well, that is actually the good news, that the kingdom of God is going to fill the earth. And so, even though terrible things may happen around us, we need to be sure of our foundation. That if our foundation isn't in our Creator, then we are like the man who has built his house on the sand. And when the wind comes and the storm and the storms come and beat against the house, it is demolished. Because it wasn't built on a firm foundation. It was just built on the sand. Well, the other person that's considered the wise person also builds a house. But he makes a firm foundation. He digs down to the rock. He builds it up from the rock up. And so when the storm comes and beats against the house, it stands. And it's not washed away. You see two people here, they have wanted to build something to live in, to enjoy. However, one looks at it as a different perspective. One of them has faith a strange sort of faith that he knows things aren't always going to be good. So his faith is not just that the good times will last, but actually his faith is there's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times. Therefore, in the good times, use that faith to build something that he won't even need in the good times, but he will need if bad times do come. So he's building like an insurance policy. You're paying something else extra that you certainly don't need 99.9% of the time. But that 0.1% of the time, you do need it. And so he is built on a firm foundation because he has faith that there are going to be actually bad times. And it may be very rare, but he's going to build accordingly. So he makes a firm foundation down to the rock, and it's tied into the rock so that it has the strength that is built up from the rock. And so when the storms do come, it remains and is not decimated. Well, we need to do that with our lives. That the way we do that in our lives is having a firm foundation in our Creator. That we acknowledge Him, that we say, we love you, Lord. We want to be your servants. We want to be your friend. We want you to come into our heart. And that's the way it's done. And in fact, there's only two types of people in this world. Those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. And of course, the question is, which one are you? Which one am I? If you haven't been able to say that you're one that's saved, then that means you're one that's about to be saved. So that's exciting. That's really exciting. And I just ask you to repeat this after me. If that's who you are, one that's not saved, but one who's about to be saved, then I ask you to repeat this. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Question is I have for you, where is Jesus right now? And if you didn't say he's in my heart, then I just encourage you to pray and say that again. And the Bible clearly declares that that is how we are saved. We believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. So it's a combination of the two things. And so I just ask you, if you're one that's about to be saved, then that I just ask you to pray this once again with me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. We always want to end that with appreciation towards God. Thank Him for His goodness and loving kindness. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be your Savior. And that you might build on a firm foundation, that you might not be like the foolish man that just built his life on sand, built his house on sand, but that you might be like the wise man that built on a firm foundation. So today we're going through Matthew chapter 14 last week, and we came almost to the end. And we just want to cover those last few verses that before we cross over into chapter 15. And remember, they were, we saw him feeding the 5,000 people. We saw people being healed. We saw Jesus and Peter both walking on the water. And now we're coming to a place where it's, let me see, I'll read starting with verse 32, which is the last couple verses we covered last week. And it says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." Well, this is out in the middle of the sea, and this is when Jesus and Peter walked back to the boat, and they stepped in. And as soon as they stepped in, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Not halfway well, not just better. You know, lots of times we just take medicine just to feel better, but we don't really get well. We just feel temporarily better. It's just treating the symptoms. Well, we don't want to treat the symptoms in our life. We want to take care of the problem, the bottom core, the foundation of the problem, to change the foundation of the problem, to get that old foundation out of there that's causing the problem. Whether it's a tumor or cancer or whatever rash of curses there might be on this earth, just because this is a planet that is in many ways under a curse ever since Adam and Eve fell. But there's a way out now. It's through Jesus Christ. And that's not just to be out, but it's also to bring life back into where there was death and destruction. So, we see here that it was as many as touched it, touched the hem of his garment. It wasn't restricted to maybe you get it, maybe you don't. So go ahead, pull the handle, and see if you hit the lottery or hit the jackpot. No, if you touch Jesus, anybody that touched Jesus, they were healed. That's because he had virtue. We see in another place that all of a sudden there's a whole lot of people touching him. He's going through a crowd. And he's being bustled about from every side. People are touching him. But a woman comes from behind, but with faith. She was saying that if I only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And that's what she had this issue of blood for, I'm not sure if it was 12, 15, 20 years. It was a long time. And it was like having a menstrual cycle or worse, but it was constant throughout the month that she was always unclean as far as they were concerned. And she could never come in contact, but she came in contact and she touched his garment and not even touched him, just his garment he had on. And all of a sudden he stopped. Who touched me? And yet the disciples and other people said, "Well, everybody's touching you." Yes, but one touched me differently. They touched me in faith, and I felt virtue flow out of me. Well, that's what the woman did. She touched him in faith, believing. We see here that everybody that came to him, they didn't even have to have him touch them with their hands, with his hands, that is. All they had to do was touch his clothing. And it says everyone. It says as many as touched it were made perfectly well. That's because the power could not be contained within him. Because within him was this river of overflowing blessings from the Holy Spirit, from God Almighty. and it overflowed him, and it was out to his clothing, and anybody that touched him, well, why would they touch them, him? They came to him because they had faith that they believed that if they just touched him, that even touched his clothing, that they would be made well. Well, we see that even with his disciples. It wasn't limited to Jesus. People were putting out their sick for Peter just to walk by, that they'd put it away from the sun so when he walked by, his shadow might fall on them, and that they would be healed just by his shadow. And of course, there's nothing being touched, not even a garment is being touched. He's not touching them, just his shadow was, and his shadow would heal them. Then he would take napkins or like we would say, handkerchiefs or something, and people would come to him and say, and ask him, that these handkerchiefs would be sent from him. And so he couldn't go. You know, he can't go every place. He was just a man. You see, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, can go every place because they're not a man. They can touch, reach where you are. That's right, right where you are, where I am, that's where Jesus is. That's why when you pray to him and you pray to the Father in Jesus' name, you're reaching out and you're touching him. You see, this isn't prayer like some other religion that you're hoping and praying, just pleading to God, hear me, hear me, hear me. I'm by my many words. Well, Jesus said you won't be heard by your many words. It's by reaching out to a Savior that loves you. Is he your Savior? Did you pray that prayer? Did you pray to ask the Father to forgive your sins? Did you ask Jesus to come into your heart? Did you ask him to make you the kind of person that he, God Almighty, wants you to be? Did you say, thank you for saving me? Well, I hope you did. And if you didn't, I hope you do right now. That's right. Because when Jesus comes in, his life and his power come in. And when his life and his power come in, your world changes. There's a difference in your world. It's no longer controlled by you or by those around you. They have influence. They can bring waves of disturbance and other things. But all of a sudden, you are founded on the rock. The rock that endures, who is Jesus Christ, the solid rock. He's called the cornerstone of the building. He's the one thing that if he's removed, then everything else crumbles. Well, everything needs to be built on that foundation of Jesus Christ. That's why my life and your life need to be built on his foundation. That's why as many that has touched him are made whole. We see that right here. And we may say, well, that was back then when he was physically here. Well, the Holy Spirit is here right now. The Holy Spirit is calling out to you and saying to you, make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Ask him to come in. Ask him that you are turning your life over to him. Ask him to make you whole. To make him real in your life. That's right. If you're a great doubter, why don't you take your doubts and doubt your doubts? That's right. That's what doubt is. It's faith. It's negative faith. Well, why don't you take your negative faith and turn around and use it? Turn around and use your negative faith to doubt your negative faith. And trust in God instead. See, every man, according to Scripture, has been given a measure of faith. Well, what is your measure of faith in? So many have put it in just humankind, saying that there is no God. Or if there is, he's not one that cares about us individually. But he is a Savior that has died not for one man's sins, but for everyone's sins. Now, does that mean everybody will be saved? No, there's lots of people about to be saved, but they die not being saved. And therefore, you see, this one little brief breath of life here on earth determines your eternity, whether you have relationship with God the Father or without Him. So He's not the one who chooses. You see, He has already chose. He has chosen you to be in Him. But just because He has chosen you to be in Him, just because He has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you come to the end of your days without acknowledging Him and asking Him to be your Lord and Savior, it says we end up getting our name blotted out. You see, your name's already in there, but you may have end your days and it be blotted out. Not because He wants it that way, but because of your and my choice. He loves you. He greatly, 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 greatly loves you. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should be saved. All should come to the knowledge of God. All should come into His presence with thanksgiving and praise. He desires you because He loves you. And we see here that as many as who touch Him are made perfectly well. That's what He wants for you. When that happens, when you ask Him into your heart, ask Him also, ask Jesus to fill you with His Holy Spirit. That's right. Ask Him also to fill you with the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit sent for? He is the one who draws you to God. He's also, according to the Scripture, the one that teaches us. You see, I can't teach you. I'm just saying words, but these words have no effect whatsoever unless the Holy Spirit takes them and gives life to them into your heart. You see, these words, if they are taken by the Holy Spirit, can radically change your life. These words, without the Holy Spirit, are just a waste of time. So we just call right now, Holy Spirit, we ask you to take these words and make Jesus alive in these people, in my life, in their lives. That these things that go on in the world, whether gold is up, the dollar is down, or whatever is happening, that those things, they matter only briefly, very briefly, but they're not important in comparison to you and our relationship with you. And so we ask you, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, to come into everyone listening to my voice right now, whether it's right now live or whether it's in the archives. They come up and bring up the archives and listen to it later, that you are there and they are hearing, and that you come in and quicken. That's another thing is, you quicken our spirits, make our spirits alive. We know that you are the one that teaches. We know also from the Word of God that you are the one that is the only one that we understand that is able to change us from glory to glory into the image of our Creator. We can't do that by ourselves. It's you, Holy Spirit. And you're willing, more than willing, you are desirous to do that for every person listening to my voice. Because if you're listening to this voice of mine, you're not really listening just to me. You're basically listening to the Holy Spirit. and you're listening to Jesus, his great love and desire that he wants to spend eternity with you, to bless you, that he wants this life to end up being the worst part of your eternity. You see, for many people, this life is going to be the best of their eternity. That after this life on earth, everything else is downhill. But with you, everything's far more glorious. And you have chosen us to be a part of your kingdom. The kingdom of God, where there's fullness of joy and riches forevermore. So I pray that each one of you that listens, that you might receive not only Jesus Christ into your heart, but also that you ask Jesus to baptize you and fill you to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and create in you a river, a well bubbling up with inside of you of joy and thanksgiving, overflowing you with the Holy Spirit, that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit and the blessings of God might flow out of you. You don't lack anything because the Holy Spirit will supply those things that you have need of. It's Jesus Christ through his Spirit that will do that. He loves you, has compassion for you. He's the one, Jesus is the one that we are to touch. And when we touch him, we are made perfectly well. That's his desire for you, is to be made perfectly well, perfectly whole. In chapter 15 it says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' And he answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, "Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God," then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men." When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted, uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. We look in that section and we see that God is looking at the heart. He's checking what we're saying. We might check what we're saying too. What's coming out of our mouths? It says in the Bible, out of the heart the mouth speaks. Well, you might say, well, that's not really in my heart. Well, some of it must be. Even if it's a little bit, that's a little bit of your heart. If it's coming out of your mouth, then that's at least a small part of your heart, if not the whole heart. So he's saying what comes out of our mouth really is coming out of our heart. It's those things that defile a man, what comes out of our mouth. And he says basically that is the root and the cause of evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Is those things really have their start in our heart? And then they come out our mouth, and then also our actions. So we see here in chapter 15 of Matthew, in verse 21, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him and saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you have desired. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now we may ask, why did Jesus have that response to her? As far as not right to take from what was the children's. Well, the reason why is not that he did not love her, to love all people, but remember, he said he was called only to the Jews at that time. You see, his message and everything was to the whole world, but he first had to preach it to the Jews, to his own people. And you see, this, he was just declaring what the Jews, as far as considered other people. You see, the area of Tyre and Sidon were, and it says, a woman of Canaan, this is, these were, as far as considered ungodly people, people that, as a whole, did not believe, they worshipped other gods, okay? They were idolaters. But this woman, even though she came from that group of people, she came there, believing that he could do it. And not only that, but then she came, and even after the first sort of rebuff that he was saying that I was not sent except the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because that's where his first place he was supposed to go, and that's where he was to be rejected. And it's after his rejection and crucifixion, you see, then it is open to all of us throughout the world, because his death and resurrection is not just his death. where all of our sins are paid for. It's no good and effective towards us unless it's a resurrection. Well, there's the resurrection, and then the life is spread out to everyone, and that's for you and to me. And so here we see this, and then we see this woman persistent. She loves her child, and she comes and worships him. It's not just like coming to a man, but she recognizes that this is God in the flesh, and she worships him, and she says, with this such faith that even though you are called to this other people, that yet there's crumbs that are going to be left over. And I need those crumbs. And he turns around and he says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Now, we don't see that at all about, he never says anything like that for anybody in Israel. He only mentions that to two people, and they're both non-Jews. One is a centurion he's a Roman centurion. And then this one, who's despised and from an ungodly society, and yet these two people have trusted in him. And he says at another time, as far as this Roman centurion, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. Well, here he's saying, great is your faith. Never again is there said to these people in Israel that he came to. He even says to his own disciples, oh, you have little faith. He talks that to his own 12, the 12 apostles, little faith. Here he's saying, great is your faith to this woman. Let it be done to you as you have desired. Well, that's what you and I need to do as far as we coming to Jesus. We need to come to him because we know who he is, that he is a lover of our souls, and that he loves us and desires us, and that we need to come to him because the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who love him and diligently seek him. So, it's not just those that haphazardly throw up a prayer to God on an occasion, but yet do not acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior. See, you may have been praying to God for a long time, but you've never given your life to him. Well, God wants you to step into a close relationship with him. Not just throwing up prayers to him, but he wants relationship with you. He wants a relationship closer than any marriage of the best of marriages here on earth with you. That's his desire, that he wants intimacy with you. Because he loves you and me. That's right, he loves you and me. And if you didn't pray that prayer earlier with me, I ask you to pray that with me before we close. And that's because there's only two kind of people on this earth. That's right, there's only two kind of people. Those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. And so I just ask you right now, from the depth of your heart, to repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. I hope you repeated that you prayed that. Then go back and pray now that Jesus has come into your heart. Ask him also to fill you and baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Hunger and thirst after him. If you hunger and thirst after him, then you will also receive the Holy Spirit. You have the if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. But there's a difference between having the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when the disciples received the Holy Spirit from Jesus in the upper room after he was resurrected, he still later told them to go wait in Jerusalem that they might be filled with the Holy Spirit. So after he ascended to heaven, when he was seen by over 500 people alive, after he had been crucified and dead for 3 days, and then raised to life again, seen by over 500 people at one time, and he ascended into heaven, he said, go wait until you be endued with power, until the Holy Ghost come upon you. Ask him for that as well, because he will make a huge change in your life. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, they'll make even a bigger change in your life. May God bless you. May God truly bless you. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from south of Yakima, Washington. Actually, it's Wapato, Washington. And may God be in every part of your life. He loves you. He greatly cares for you. He wants the very best for you. God bless you. I hope to be with you again next week at the same time. Goodbye. We love you. Bye-bye.